About the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And it's Oscar time, baby.
Yeah.
One of my favorite times of year. Oscar nominations are out.
Best season. Yeah.
The Oscars are still like a month and a half away, so there's lots of time to catch up on things, to watch all the nominees, to speculate.
Yeah.
It's a glorious time to be a movie fan. Also, there's no good movies out in theaters. So
yeah,
we are really sort of struggling, and we'll be discussing these instead. Because neither of us wanted to go see that Chris Pratt movie. I'm sorry. Like,
oh yeah, no, it looked terrible. So bad, honestly.
I did think the trailer was intriguing, but based on the fact that it was Chris Pratt and him being a cop, I was like, huh, okay, no. I think it was the Rebecca Ferguson of it all that really was sort of drawing me in, but I resisted.
No, it's like a poor man's Minority Report, and it's all in one cheesy-looking room, so it's a no for me, but excited to talk about these Oscar noms. I feel like, yeah, a strange year in some ways because there were so many ways it could go. Even comparing like the Golden Globes noms, the SAG noms and winners, like there's definitely front runners when you have one ballot after another, and at least the nomination pool for Sinners, even if they aren't winning the awards they should. But there's also a few like, oh, it could go to Amanda Seyfried for Testament of Anne Lee. Oh, it could be Die My Love. You know, there's like a lot of, there's a lot of mid-range of the of the Oscar nominees to pull from. So it was sort of interesting to see what came through on the Oscar voting ballot.
Yeah, I think the headline was definitely that Sinners broke the all-time record for most nominations. It got 16 nominations, which, and I believe the record before this was 14. So one by two. Part of that is that there is the new casting Oscar, so, you know, that helps it. But even without that, it would have gotten 15. It was nominated in every single below-the-line category, and it also got three actors in, which I think was a little bit of a surprise, because while everybody thought that Michael B. Jordan was going to get in, I think Delroy Lindo was definitely the most, or Delroy Lindo and Kate Hudson were the two most, like, shocking acting nominations, and then Wunmi Masako got in for Best Supporting Actress, which I think she was nominated for some precursors and stuff, but I think that category had so many people circling it. You know, there were multiple actresses from One Battle After Another, there were multiple Mardi Supreme people, they ended up not getting in. It was sort of a wild mix, but I'm excited. I think Sinners, when it came out in March, seemed like an obvious choice for a bunch of Oscars and for Best Picture. Obviously, One Battle After Another came out later, which I think is also a really great film and very deserving of whatever awards that it has gotten or will get. But I think that Sinners sort of like faded into the background a little bit through over the fall, to the point where people were saying, oh, it's actually a race between One Battle After Another and Hamnet, or oh, maybe Mardi Supreme. Like, Sinners was kind of lower on the list, and I'm really happy to see that everybody woke the fuck up and was like, wait a second, no, Sinners actually is an incredible achievement, an amazing story. It did so well in the box office and earned so much money. It's an original idea. It's not based on IP. Like, let's give this some awards. And while I don't know that it will end up winning a lot of these, I do think the fact that it has 16 nominations really does sort of make it seem like more of a front runner than we had thought it was going into nominations morning.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, especially when you compare it to, like, okay, it's outseating La La Land, which if I remember correctly, won a lot, even if it lost the main one.
Yeah.
Maybe yes. I'm misremembering that.
No, I think it did. I think it won Best Director. Obviously, Emma Stone won. It won the song, oh, yes. You know, so yeah. it won some things.
So there's hope for Sinners yet. But yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know, do we want to go through each section or just talk about highs and lows and surprises?
I don't know. Let's go through the categories because I feel like there are some weird things in them. Yeah. I'm on the Wikipedia page. Do you want to just start at the bottom and then get to the better categories at the end?
Oh, okay. So it's going by what?
So best visual effects, I guess, is the first one to talk about. The nominees are Avatar, Fire and Ash, F1, Jurassic World, Rebirth, The Lost Bus, and Sinners.
You know what? You laugh at The Lost Bus, but the only good thing about that movie were the visual effects.
No, it was crazy. And obviously they were not burning down a forest and having this bus drive through it. So it was like a lot of visual effects.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. But it is hard to imagine anything winning over Avatar just because it's Avatar. That's all it has going for it.
Right. And it's, I mean, it's, and Avatar did get get another very shocking nomination, which we will get to later. But I mean, Avatar is just like, it won the first two times it was nominated. I think Avatar is just always going to win at best.
I mean, is an achievement in visual effects. Yeah, you can't. You know, it's his passion project and it's his baby. He's bad at writing movies. He's bad at characterizing humans. But the visual effects is the $1 billion marker behind that film. So sorry to anyone going against an Avatar movie, but it's just not your year.
I guess let's talk about the other Avatar category then while we're at it, which is best costume design.
Yeah.
Which somehow it got nominated for along with Frankenstein, Hamlet, but Marty Supreme, and Sinners.
But you can't, like, you fault it because it ends up in computer animation. But they do make these costumes. Like, I mean, it is pretty insane.
They do. But it is crazy to me that, like, the costumes in question are, like, the fire lady's, like, leather strap that's just around her nipples, like, a loincloth. It's various, like, sort of beaded things that are, like, hiding blue genitals. And then camo outfits. When I think about costumes, I think, like, so Wicked did not get nominated at all in any category, which I think is really an indictment on that movie and how bad it was. But it's a little bit crazy that Wicked won the Oscar for Best Costumes last year for a movie that had very similar costumes and a lot of costumes, and then did not get nominated here and instead lost to a movie where the costumes are largely loincloths.
Well, that's insulting to any sort of tribal art. It doesn't mean that there's not a skill involved in said beading. I mean, I do think the sexy Avatar lady with her cool headdress was very... That was a dope costume.
Yes, the headdress was great.
I don't want to go to bat for Avatar. I do agree that it is kind of like... weird to think about at first, but I think that's part of why James Cameron did his whole, like, behind the scenes, like, movie about making the movie, because he gets so rattled when people are like, it's just an animated film, and he's like, no, it's not.
We're doing a lot of other things.
And it is so it is like fascinating how much they made, like, real costumes and then had to figure out how to computerize them. It's like, is this worth it? Is this a waste? But I guess it worked. I guess it's worth it. They got an Oscar nom for costumes. Have they not gotten that for the last two? Do you know?
I guess I don't know. But I should. This is the part of the podcast where we should mention that Shelby's actually James Cameron's niece.
I'm James Cameron's number one fan.
And he sent her a 16-page dossier on talking points for this episode. So
no, luckily it's over, I think. So... I don't have to mention.
Actually, if you think about it, film editing, Avatar should have been won. What do we think is winning this category? I don't think it's Avatar.
I feel like it's going to be something boring, like Marty fucking Supreme, where it's like, if you wanted Marty Supreme to get, like, a technical, put it up for makeup for making Timmy's skin look so realistically acne prone. I think that was a snub, honestly. It should have had makeup under its belt for alone.
What? It does feel like these costume designs are a little bit uninspired. Let me go to the short list.
I mean, Frankenstein, I think you hated it, but the costumes were very beautiful, very, you know, sweeping in your classic sort of, best costume envisioning.
I sort of think that's what's going to win, because I do think that, like, the Mia Goth costumes are really pretty. The other things that could have gotten nominated for this were The Testament of Anne Lee, which, you know, I think have good costumes, but those feel similar to Hamnet in their sort of like peasant garb. And then Hedda, which has really beautiful costumes, but I don't think that ever really, like, took off in the same way.
Just the corset alone.
Right.
You just want.
I'm sort of shocked that Kiss of the Spider-Woman didn't get nominated for this, because Jennifer Lopez's dresses in that movie are really incredible. I guess half the movie's in prison, so, like, what are they wearing? But, okay.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to Best Film Editing, the nominees are F1, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. How do you feel about the F1 of it all? I know you love Brad Pitt. You're a big fan.
No, do not put that on record. I'm his number one hater. F1, that's an industry plant for me. That's a tax write-off. That's something Apple is paying people off to put on these lists, I swear to God. But yeah, sure. So film editing is like, wow, you cut those scenes together nicely. Is that right?
I mean, film editing, is basically taking, like, all of the footage and then compiling it into a movie. So I think that things that tend to do well here are, like, F1, it's a lot of cuts of cars and things from different angles, so that does take a lot of work. Or something like Sentimental Value has a lot of sort of like montage-y kind of sequences, which I think are something to be taken in.
Of course.
I honestly think that this might be where One Battle After Another sort of wins it, just because that the editing on that that car chase where it's like the hills and like the way that's all put together seems so taut,
and they shot in some sort of special film, didn't they?
Yes. So I don't know if that impacts.
I don't know
this at all, but
seems harder.
Yeah, I don't know.
F1, they literally didn't have a script while they were filming, so it's like, I guess props to.
So the editor was really the script writer as well. So maybe,
but they also had a lot of footage to choose from, you know. So it's like.
Well, and they cut the Bridgerton girl out of the whole movie.
Epic fail on their part, frankly. Cancel that editor, terrible job.
Who do you think is winning?
One battle after
another.
Give us
a pick. Okay, perfect.
I think one battle is gonna sweep a lot of these technicals.
Okay, makeup and hairstyling, we have Frankenstein back again, Kokuho, which is a Japanese movie about kabuki, Sinners, The Smashing Machine, and The Ugly Stepsister, which is a Cinderella horror film that I have not seen.
That's crazy. I didn't see that. I did not realize that. I saw the movie on like streaming, and I was like, that looks so bad just from the photo, but I guess I have to really give it a go. It's nominated for best makeup. That's great for it.
The thing that's interesting about the best makeup and hairstyling category is that they have what's called a bake-off. So there's a short list that's 10 movies that sort of get picked by a smaller committee. And then each of those makeup and hairstyling groups put together a sort of presentation about their work. And then
pitch deck.
Yeah, and so then there's a day where all of them are, you know, as many makeup and hairstyling voters as, you know, can come to this, you know, presentation, and all of these different people present. So I think that there is something in the way that works that then these Academy voters kind of like, even if they didn't necessarily see The Ugly Stepsister when it came out, if as long as it's on the short list, then they go and they go, oh, wow, this actually did involve some great makeup, which is interesting. And that I think that it's also interesting that those got nominated over like Wicked for Good and One Battle After Another and Marty Supreme, all of which you would think would be like more likely to get nominated. But yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
Well, what about like Weapons, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't even on the short list, which I am sort of surprised about. But I guess
maybe on the short list.
The short list was the five nominees, and then Wicked for Good, One Battle After Another, Marty Supreme, Nuremberg, and the Alto Knights. So
okay. Snooze.
Which I was like, I don't even remember there being makeup in Nuremberg. I was like, who was
Well, everyone on set has makeup on.
Right, but it's like a World War II movie or whatever.
You know? Isn't it like, wouldn't it include like the face, what's it called? Like whatever they need to do to make a person look like another person.
Right, but a prosthetic? are there a lot of prosthetics in Nuremberg? I don't remember.
I'm not justifying Nuremberg, but I'm
trying. You're like, Nuremberg should have won.
I'm like, obviously there was makeup and hairstyling involved in those sad little military men.
That's a weird shortlist. Is gonna win this or no? Frankenstein. Yes, obviously Frankenstein. For the monster. Yeah. Okay, yes, duh.
Yeah,
that was stupid of me. Okay, moving on. Best cinematography. We have Frankenstein, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and Train Dreams. Have you seen Train Dreams yet?
I did see it. It's on Netflix.
It is so gorgeous. I don't know if it was going to win this category, but I'm like, it is the most beautiful movie of these five. And I'm like, it should win. I don't know why Frankenstein is here. That should not be nominated. I hate ugly ass movie. Get that off this list. But no, I hope
Frankenstein will probably win this.
No, it can't. I'm like, Train Dreams. Yeah. I think One Battle After Another or Sinners might end up winning this. But I'm like, Train Dreams really, I think, deserves it.
Yeah, Train Dreams is very, very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll win. Maybe they'll give it to this since One Battle After Another gets everything else. But I feel like it'll be One Battle After Another.
Yeah, I'm like, if Train Dreams is winning something, this is where it would have to win. So we'll see how many people rally around that. Production design, we have Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, and Sinners. What a shocking set of nominations. Production design is like the sets and props and things. So
what would you replace? Do you have something you wish was in here?
I mean, Wicked did win this last time, so I don't know if, you know, that does sort of seem a little bit surprising that that's not on this list. And then, you know, Avatar does build some of those sets and props and things. I guess the one thing that I think like is a little bit surprising is in here is the Phoenician Scheme, the Wes Anderson movie, just because I feel like Wes Anderson sets are always so pretty, but that movie obviously didn't do very well. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like, I don't know. It's hard to say because it's like, I feel like the set that I remember is the, all of mine would be like such random ones, but it's like kind of boring to have Marty Supreme here. I think Hamnet would be my happiest win because I think what they did with like the globe and stuff is cool, but they just filmed at the real globe, didn't they?
No, they rebuilt it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, then, yeah. I want Hamnet to win.
Yeah. Also, like, the old-timey cottages and stuff. Like, they clearly had to build all of that. Where, like, One Battle After Another, I'm sort of like, what did they build? Like, the...
Yeah.
Like, the dojo? Like,
is it part of, like... Is it part of, like, finding sets or, like, detailing real things to help it fit?
I guess that is also part of it. Yeah. But that movie just feels like, okay, like they found this cool highway. I don't know.
Like, whatever.
I do feel like Frankenstein might win this as well for all of its big sets. But,
Which you hated.
I feel about Frankenstein. Okay, sound. We have F1 returning, Frankenstein, One Battle After Another, Sinners, and Serrat, which is this Spanish film about ravers in the desert.
I saw a trailer and I saw you post about it, and then I read the Wikipedia page and I was like, oh my God, this is too depressing. I can't.
Serrat, like, low-key does feel like a movie that you would love, sort of.
I know,
like,
but...
like, in one way, it feels so out of your wheelhouse. But on the other hand, you do love these movies so where sad. It's like, there's no hope. We're all going to die. You're like, yes, this was great. And I'm like, no, you guys, actually, maybe there is beauty in life.
Yeah.
Something interesting about Serrat is that it is the first ever all-female sound team to be nominated.
Cute.
Which is,
I mean, it does crazy. Seem built for this kind of award. I think F1 will probably win because they'll be like, oh my God, it was like I was on the racetrack. But I do feel like something more low-key that has something that just stands out like sound is more, you know, powerful, like potent in a way. But
I also feel like if you liked Serrat, like if you were a big Serrat fan, like this is obviously the spot to vote for it. Where yeah. I feel like if you're an F1 person, like that's nominated in several categories. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering, like, how much does the international branch like F1? Like, I understand F1 as a concept is like European, but do they like Brad Pitt in this movie? I don't know.
Ugh, maybe they love F1 too much to even respect this dumb movie.
Okay. F1 versus Frankenstein. And which movie do we hate more? Best casting. We have Hamnet, Marty Supreme, so One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, and Sinners. Do you have a favorite?
So explain
here?
To me the... what is this?
What is casting?
Like, how do they justify it? Just, is it like best ensemble, basically? It's like that Golden Globes award or whatever?
So Emmys or something? I think it's a bit unclear, since this is the first year, of whether it's sort of a best ensemble type award or whether it's an award for sort of the hardest movies to cast.
Right.
Because there was a shortlist for this, let me find it, that did include, I think, some more interesting options. So the shortlist had 10, and the other movies on that were Sentimental Value, Weapons, Frankenstein, Wicked for Good, and Serrat. And I do think, like, Serrat had all, or most of the people in it were, like, not trained actors. You know, they were just, like, people that you found. With Weapons, obviously, there's, like, child actors. And I think the same thing with Hamnet, which people have said are more difficult because it's not like you can just, you know, dial up a famous person. If you're looking for child actors, you really have to, like, go out and find them, which can be hard. Marty Supreme also has a lot of people who aren't typically actors, you know, like the guy from Shark Tank and about a lot of these sort of like New York kind of figures that are in the movie.
But it's not like hard to cast a Safdie movie.
What do you mean?
Like it's like everyone wanted to sign up.
Yes, but I think it's sort of about like finding the right people for the right role.
Right.
Like obviously nobody's going to say no to Sinners, but they found
it just seems like hard to
know.
It's like how they blend the sound roles now and it's kind of confusing and it's just like based on vibes. So it's kind of like if I was the voter and I'm like, well, what am I voting for? Like, am I voting for, wow, that cast came together and it was magic? Or am I voting for, wow, they put a lot of work into finding these? Or am I voting for, oh, they got Timothy Chalamet?
I think it's not that. I don't think it's like who could get the biggest actors involved.
Yeah.
I think it's for the casting ensemble. So like for One Battle After Another, obviously you have Leonardo DiCaprio, but then it's like, okay, they found Chase Infinity. They went and got Jungle Pussy to be in the movie, even though she's like a rapper. She's not really an actress. And then you get, you know, Tiana Taylor, who had been in things but wasn't as big of a star, and they're like, okay, when we're gonna get Tony Goldwyn to come in and play a part. Like, of sort of just the casting director finding the script or having the script and then finding all of these people for these different roles.
It's cute. Very cute. Did they have to do a pitch deck?
I don't think so, but I guess I don't really know.
Yeah.
I feel like this could go any which way for me. Like, I don't know if they'll just be like, oh, well, we like one battle after another, so let's give it to that.
The easiest. Or and it is like a bigger cast, so it's easier to like recognize all the pieces coming together. Whereas, like, I mean, obviously Marty Supreme has probably more people on the cast list, but it's like they're background actors in a way. There's really only like four main players.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot more going on with one battle after another.
But Hamnet really said, let's get Joe Alwyn and give him a role that's really boring.
So. Like, you know what? He's played enough racist, abusive freaks. Let's just let him be the nice brother for once.
Okay, moving on to best original song. We have Dear Me from Diane Warren, Relentless, the yearly Diane Warren nominee. We have Golden from K-Pop Demon Hunters. We have I Lied to You from Sinners, which is the song during the sort of like dance sequence. Mm-hmm. We have Sweet Dreams of Joy from Vita Verdi, movie that like that no one has seen, and then Train Dreams from Train Dreams, which I didn't even realize that there was a song for that.
But, I know.
This is obviously going to be Golden. Like, I feel like this is the most easy thing to predict out of this whole lineup.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I Lied to You is so good, but it is going to be Golden, and I'm not mad about it.
I'm a little surprised that that K-Pop Demon Hunters didn't try to get another song that
I know what it sounds like is the superior song, but whatever, no one wants to hear
or
from
Soda
me.
Pop, huh? What about that?
No, no, that would have been insane, sir. But yeah, do you think Miley Cyrus is mad? She was really gunning for her Avatar
song. I'm sort of shocked that, like, I think the Diane Warren, Golden, and Sinners were, like, always going to get nominated, but the Viva Verdi nomination and also Train Dreams are both crazy. I'm like, yeah, you have the Miley Cyrus song from Avatar. I'm like, let me look at, see, because this is another one that has a short list. So I'm like, what else was on there? There were the two Wicked songs, which neither of them got nominated. There was the Sinners credit song, which didn't get nominated.
Can you sing a line from either Wicked song?
Well, yes, of course. I'm just the girl in the bubble. The bubble surrounding me.
No. I'm just a girl in the bubble. I think.
I have no idea. I was truly making that up. Then F1 had a song. Tron Aries had a song.
Oh my god.
There was the Highest to Lowest song, which they submitted the wrong one. They should have submitted the ASAP Rocky song, but they didn't, which that's their own mistake.
What was he in this year? He's really trying.
ASAP Rocky?
Yeah.
He was also in If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
Oh, yeah. good for him,
which we will get to. Okay, over to best original score. We have Begonia, Frankenstein, Hamnet, One Battle After Another, and Sinners.
Yeah, it's a pretty good lineup. You're a hater on Max Richter, but oh damn, he has that song, and
he does have that one song.
He's gonna
in
make
Hamnet.
You feel things. But this is a tough one. Who's been winning?
I love the One Battle After Another score. Like, when it's playing over that car chase, like, that's a good score.
I know, but Sinners and Begonia, actually.
That's true.
What one? Do you remember for Golden Globes or whatever?
I actually
don't think they aired it.
Yeah, I think Sinners won at the Golden Globes because I remember seeing a tweet that's like, oh yeah, that white guy who's friends with Ryan Coogler is winning another Oscar. I do think that Sinners is the front runner here, but I would love if One Battle After Another won.
I can't remember the music, but I'm sure I would.
Okay, Let's skip these shorts categories because we've never watched them and move to best documentary feature, where the nominees are The Alabama Solution, Come See Me in the Good Light, Cutting Through Rocks, Nobody Against Mr. Nobody Against Putin, and The Perfect Neighbor. The only one of these that I've seen so far is Come See Me in the Good Light, which is about a lesbian poet who has cancer is very good, I would say.
The Perfect Neighbor is very good too. I'm surprised Cover Up isn't nominated, though. Did that not go to theaters?
No, it did. I'm sort of shocked, too. The documentary branch is famously finicky about nominees. And I do think that because Laura Poitras, who did that documentary, already has an Oscar, there might be some, kind of like, okay, well, we don't need to nominate her again. Let's nominate somebody else.
Okay, yeah. I don't know any of the other ones. But I did like The Perfect Neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still need to see that. That's on Netflix. The Alabama Solution, I think, is on HBO, and that's like a prison documentary. Mm. And then obviously Mr. Nobody Against Putin is about Russia. I'm not sure what.
But oh, we and just Cutting Through Rocks is about a Russia documentary Iran. Didn't we?
We did. We this did. I want to say we've had several. I don't think that that's going to win. I think that The Perfect Neighbor, I think, is the front runner right now. The only thing is that Come See Me in the Good Light is a lot more like heartwarming rather than sort of. So it depends whether they want to go in a like more like, oh, I feel good way, or in like, let's send a political message kind of way.
Yeah.
But okay. Best international feature. We have It Was Just an Accident, which is an Iranian film, but was submitted by France. The Secret Agent, which is from Brazil, Sentimental Value from Norway, Surat from Spain, and The Voice of Hindra Job, which is a Palestinian film, but was submitted by Tunisia. Have you seen any of these?
No. I keep trying to watch Sentimental Value, but someone always misses the... this two-factor
identification. I know. I responded to this one with like 10 minutes later, but you were already on to whatever you were doing. Sentimental Value is my favorite of this. I love Sentimental Value. I think this is a very strong lineup. The Voice of Hindra Job is, I think, a little...
I do not like that. I think it's yucky they did that, and I think it's weird, the team behind it, and I think it's exploitative in a way that doesn't feel productive.
But, yes. It's basic, for those who don't know, it's basically there was a phone call of this little girl, Hindra Job, calling in to sort of like the Palestinian equivalent of a 911. And she is like at a bombing. She's in a car with her family, and she's being attacked by Israeli military, and everyone in the car is dead except for her, and so it's on this phone call, and the movie uses the actual phone call and then has actors playing the people who are sort of at the like 911 dispatch center. But it is like, it's one of those movies where it's like, it is trying to make you feel as bad as possible to sort of elicit a reaction that is pro-Palestine. And I kind of think that most of the people who are going to see it already probably have that thought. And so it's sort of like needlessly miserable. And if you are not pro-Palestine, I don't know that you're going to see this movie. So it does feel a little bit like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, obviously I've heard the original call and it's devastating. It's just weird to dramatize it so soon while there's still like a genocide happening. I don't know. The whole team behind it just makes me feel yucky. But yeah, it's very emotional. So I can see it getting. I would say I could see it winning, but I think it's hard going against like an already front runner like Sentimental Value.
Yeah, I think Sentimental Value and The Secret Agent, since they're both Best Picture nominees, feel a lot more likely to win this category than that does. Moving over to Best Animated Feature, we have Arco, Elio, which is the Disney movie, K-Pop Demon Hunters, Little Amelie, or the... What?
It's K-Pop. it's going to be K-pop.
Oh, well, yes, obviously.
Saying, it's K-pop.
Little Amelie or the character of Rain or Zootopia 2. Did you see Elio? Did you watch that since you have a child? Is it good? I heard it's bad.
It was like mid. It was like, I feel like there were issues with it, but if it had come out during their golden years, it would have been considered fine.
Okay.
But it's just like not a standout in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It was not great.
I mean, it feels like it's going to be impossible for anything to beat K-pop Demon Hunters. Like Zootopia 2 obviously did really well, but I don't think they like sequels that much.
Yeah.
And while sometimes they go for like the sort of underdogs, I kind of feel like K-pop Demon Hunters is already sort of an underdog, because it's not like it's a Pixar movie and it's sort of crazy that it became such a phenomenon, and that I don't really think that something like Arco or Little Amelie is going to be able to overtake it. On to the screenplay categories. For best adapted screenplay, I think it always works out this way, where it's like the best picture nominees like skew in one direction or the other. So like one of them is sort of like the more stacked category, and the other one has a little bit more room for interesting things. Best adapted was the more difficult category this year. So it has Begonia, Frankenstein, Hamnet, One Battle After Another, and Train Dreams, all of which are best picture nominees. Do you have a favorite in the batch?
I feel like it's going to be One Battle After Another.
I think so.
Or Begonia.
I feel like Begonia is sort of like the fun option. I kind of think that we're going to end up having an Anora-esque situation again this year, where Paul Thomas Anderson just goes up to like collect a bunch of different Oscars. Like he's never won an Oscar before, and now he's about to win like three.
Yeah. Well, and it's like I think Hamnet is a good movie, but it's like pretty, you know, the source material was already enough, you know. And same with like Frankenstein, like they stick pretty true to the books, whereas I think there's something more respected in film when they kind of like take an impossible to adapt story and make it so watchable, like something like One Battle After Another or Begonia, where it's like, oh my god, they made it their own, like, you know, kind of how I feel.
Well, also both Hamnet and Frankenstein, I think, have had lots of people say like, oh, well, actually the book is better than the movie, which I don't think is what you're looking for in this category.
Right.
I think you want a Dune type situation where it's like, oh, like no one's been able to figure this out, but you could, or it's like Little Women, where it's like, oh, this is a beloved book, and somehow or another, the movie is just as good. So I think this will be One Battle After Another. In original screenplay, we have Marty Supreme, Sentimental Value, and Sinners, which are the Oscar nominees. And then we have Blue Moon and It's an Accident.
Yeah, I haven't heard of those or seen them.
Well, is the Iranian film that's also nominated for Best International Feature. That's actually pretty good. I feel like you would like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blue Moon is a very sort of talky film about the Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote Oklahoma the musical, and so it is set on the night of Oklahoma's Broadway premiere, but Rodgers from Rodgers and Hammerstein had previously had a different writing partner called Lorenz Hart, who was sort of like an alcoholic. And so the movie is about Lorenz Hart showing up to the like after party of basically like what used to be his best friend and writing partner's new play with a new writing partner. And that's about to become like one of the most well-known shows ever created. And he's like not too happy about it. It's all
set in one
bar, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Yeah. I got confused on which partner. Yeah. Okay. I was like, the person coming in also has a show premiering. I was hoping for a little more drama. Okay.
If you're not dressed like that, or why are you dressed like that if you're not in Oklahoma?
I feel like that's, yeah, I can't speak to it because I haven't seen them. But I do wish justice on some different, I feel like Sorry Baby, I wanted to see more of, but
I know.
But that's fine.
I like when they nominate some more like wild things in the screenplay category. These are kind of boring nominations, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
Although like Sentimental Value and Sinners are both such good movies. Yeah. And like I love those screenplays.
Yeah.
And Marty Supreme is a big swing too. I think this will probably go to Ryan Coogler for Sinners, especially if he's not winning Best Picture or Best Director. I think that people will probably vote to give him this Oscar.
That'd be great.
Which we love. Ryan Coogler, winner. Yeah. Okay, on to the acting categories. In Best Supporting Actress, we have Elle Fanning and Inga Ipsdotter Lilius from Sentimental Value. We have Amy Madigan, a.k.a. Aunt Gladys from Weapons. We have Wunmi Musaku from Sinners, and then Tiana Taylor from One Battle After Another.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough category. Everyone... Chase Infinity is also from One Battle After Another, but I think, I mean, yeah, I think if they'd gotten more than one in, it just splits the vote, and I feel like Tiana's a more likely favorite.
I think Chase Infinity was running in Best Lead Actress, actually.
Lead?
Randomly. I do think that is the case, because I think that they were like, okay, we're going to put her in lead, and then we'll put Regina Hall and Tiana Taylor in Best Supporting Actress.
So funny how they can just always decide.
They're always just moving people around.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think
the snubs here were definitely the Odessa Azayan and Gwyneth Paltrow from Marty Supreme, I think, were the two main ones. And then also Emily Blunt in The Smashing Machine. I don't know if you've seen the gift of her with the gun.
That's crazy.
And Hailee Steinfeld for Sinners.
Okay, yeah, I'd allow that, and I would have allowed...
Glenn Close from Wake Up Dead Man? You want her in there?
No. Yeah, that's it.
What about Nina Haas from Hedda?
Oh, you know what? You wouldn't agree with this, but Jodie Comer from 28 Weeks Later was, like, so good in that movie.
Oh, I did not see that. I feel like
that would have been a really good...
I can't weigh in.
A really good surprise here.
Is she in the new one or does she die?
No, she dies. It's like she's good because she's sick. She has cancer. So she's in and out of like lucidity and kind of remembering her childhood and talking to him and reminding him that there's life to be found in the hellscape they're in. So there's a lot. She's
really,
it's a chewy role.
Taking cancer people in apocalypses.
Yeah, exactly. But... Too bad. Too bad there's no respect for horror here except for
For Weapons, which is horror. And Sinners, which is also sort of horror. Do you think that Amy Madigan or Tiana Taylor is gonna win? And who would you prefer?
I think Tiana Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
She's just more fun and she's everywhere, and I feel like it'll be top of mind for voters.
Yeah,
she's good in it. Like I think it's just an easy sell.
She's great. For Best Actor, we have Benicio Del Toro and Sean Penn, both from One Battle After Another, and then Jacob Elordi from Frankenstein, Delroy Lindo from Sinners, and Stellan Skarsgård from Sentimental Value, who I think is the front runner.
Yeah, then Jacob Elordi is getting a lot of love.
I know, but I'm like, you know, the Academy does not like giving hot young guys Oscars. I just can't see them giving it to Jacob Elordi when there's four old men that they could choose instead, which is their favorite people to give Oscars to.
And so many of them, two of them are white. So it's a real Sophie's choice for them.
Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro already have Oscars.
Yeah.
So I do think that Stellan Skarsgård is most likely to win here. Yeah. But if people really are like on the Sinners train, then maybe
it
could be Del Lindo, because he is incredible. So and he should have gotten an Oscar for playing the Trump supporter guy in Defy Bloods, but...
Oh, I know. So good.
Alas.
Did you see someone disrespect him by calling him an emerging talent?
I did. That was so funny. And he was like, well, I'm not emerging. I've been around for a while. Like, I knew what the man was trying to say, like the interviewer of like, oh, like, you know, you're like finally you're getting all right of this now. Attention. Yeah. But yes, it was not the right wording. Paul Mescal did not get nominated in this category for Hamlet. Did you feel upset about that in any way?
I did not feel anything that way. I liked him in it. I think, honestly, his performance of telling the story of Eurydice was beautiful. So that alone. But no, I feel like this is fine. I'm fine with this.
People were also worried that Jack O'Connell, the white vampire from Sinners, was going to get nominated and not so any funny. Of the black people.
No, but no. I think they made the right fate. Choice. Yeah.
For Best Actress, we have Jessie Buckley from Hamnet, Rose Byrne from If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, your favorite, Kate Hudson from Song Sung Blue, Renata Reinsva from Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone back from Begonia. Emma Stone truly did zero campaigning for this. Like,
Emma Stone, get the fuck out of here. I do not need her in this lineup. I'm sorry. Like, all respect to the movie, but I don't know. Whatever. It's fine.
I mean, I do think that she is great in this film, but I am a little bit like, this category had so many people who could have been nominated, and, you know, like Chase Infinity, but then also like Amanda Seyfried from Testament of Anne Lee, Jennifer Lawrence from Die My Love, Ava Victor from Sorry Baby, Tessa Thompson from Hedda. Like, there's a really good list of people here, and I am a little bit like, Emma Stone already has 2 Oscars. She has a bunch of nominations. She also got nominated this year for Best Picture because she's a producer on Begonia as well. Like, does she need this?
No,
I don't know.
I do not. And it's not even, she doesn't need it. It's that this isn't, you know, if she's already won her Oscars, let's remember what they were for. And I think that this doesn't earn, like, leveling up to those.
Yeah, this is not Poor Things as much as you hate Poor Things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is kind of a lazy category. Like, they didn't even think about it. They're just like I don't know.
Well, they clearly thought about it a bit because they put Song Sung Blue in here, which is not been nominated anywhere else.
This is fun. Yeah, no, I just, yeah.
She had to limp around, Shelby. She had to pretend she had one leg.
Yeah, I would have put Sorry Baby in here before Kate Hudson, 100%, but...
Do you think Jessie Buckley is going to win this, or do you think somebody else might snatch it from her?
I think Rose Byrne has an interesting chance. Mm-hmm. Because it's like one of those indie films, and she's been such a long actress, and it's like a real serious role for once. And I think, any mother could relate, so.
I also think it's one of those things where, because it's the only nomination from If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, it's like, if you really like that movie, this is where you're voting for it. Whereas Hamnet, it's like, okay, you could vote for that in a bunch of different places. So
I could drink you like water.
Okay. No.
I just think I'll just forever. That's my association with Jessie Buckley now. Is just, I could drink you like water.
I don't think you quite got the accent down, but we'll allow it.
I'll have it ready for the actual night of.
Over in Best Leading Actor, we have Timothy Chalamet from Mardi Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio from One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke from Blue Moon, Michael B. Jordan from Sinners, and Wagner Moura from The Secret Agent. Is this just Timmy winning?
I know, and I do not...
Are you okay, Shelby?
I'm a Marty hater, honestly.
You wanted Jesse Plemons.
I'm a Marty hater. I think Jesse Plemons 100% deserves to be here. Like, I'm sorry, that's just disrespectful to not have him here. And I... Yeah, I know I haven't seen Blue Moon or The Secret Agent yet, so like whatever, but I would kick Timothy Chalamet out for that easily.
Well, you know who's in The Secret Agent? Your boy from Civil War, your favorite movie.
No, I know, he's great. I imagine he did a great job.
Yes, he did.
And, but I do think Michael B. Jordan should get this. I think he had a harder job playing 2 people, technically 2.5 people with a vampire version of one of them.
Yes, that's so true.
I think that was, and I think he did such a good job in the role and also in creating the role. Like his, I wish he had a chance, but I know he doesn't.
Yeah, his physicality is really incredible. Yeah. I do think that this is where Michael B. Jordan, like, he should be winning this Oscar. I do think that, unfortunately, it's just going to go to Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
But this is also Michael B. Jordan's first nomination, I believe, which is crazy.
Which is also crazy and disrespectful.
I know. Like, let's give him some more of these, please.
Yeah.
And then, yes, some people are like, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win. I just can't see that happening. I feel like he already has one Oscar. And I mean, I do think he is good in this movie, but it's not like it is such an ensemble film with a whole bunch of different people that it doesn't feel like his role is that like weighty in the same way that Timothy Chalamet's or Michael B. Jordan's are, where they're like, feels like they're doing more.
Well, I think he's second in line. I just think the Timothy Chalamet vehicle is so far ahead of him that it would be like such mm-hmm. a twist if Leo was able to like beat him out.
Best director, we have Chloe Zhao for Hamnet, Josh Safdie for Marty Supreme, Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Joaquin Trier for Sentimental Value, and Ryan Coogler for Sinners. This feels like another, this and Golden, I feel like, are the two categories where I'm like, oh yeah, okay, done. Like, Paul Thomas Anderson has made so many great movies that Hollywood has loved. He's never won an Oscar. One Battle After Another is an incredible film. Like,
wait, he never won an Oscar?
I'm fairly certain he has not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Done.
You're like, fine. I'll give it to him. Yeah. I'll allow it.
That's crazy.
I'm like, let me look. Yes. He has been nominated 14 times and never won.
Yeah. Hamnet won the Golden Globe, right? Or no?
For Best Director? No, he won for Best Director.
He won Director. She won Best Picture. Crazy.
She won Best Drama.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
He won Best Comedy, then he also won Best Director. Was nominated for Best Original Screenplay for Boogie Nights and Magnolia, Best Picture Director and Adapted Screenplay for There Will Be Blood, Best Adapted Screenplay for Inherent Vice, Best Picture and Director for Phantom Thread, and Best Picture Director and Original Screenplay for Licorice Pizza. So, like, I think it's time we give him an Oscar.
I mean, and these are so much, this is so much better than any of those.
Yeah, but way better than Licorice Pizza. I do love There Will Be Blood, but yeah, I mean, I think he's winning this. Chloe Zhao just won this a couple of years ago, so it's like, I sort of don't think that we're giving it to her again. Josh Safdie feels like he's sort of lucky to be there. I do think that Ryan Coogler's probably like second in line, but I think Paul Thomas Anderson's just really far out front.
Yeah.
And then finally, we get to Best Picture, where the nominees are Begonia, F1, your favorite, Frankenstein, my favorite, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams.
Rob wants to go on record saying Weapons should be in here.
No, I agree. I 1,000% agree. Weapons should have F1 spot.
F1 should not be in conversation.
And Frankenstein. Weapons should actually be on here twice in this category instead of Frankenstein and F1.
Yeah.
F1 being here is deranged.
It's
I'm sorry.
It's insane. It is 100% Apple buying some sort of vote. I swear to God. There's going to be a documentary in 10 years about Apple's swaying the Oscar votes for F1. And I'm going to say I told you so, because it's just unbelievable to put that here.
Like, it was just an accident. Could have been nominated. Obviously, Weapons. I would have taken Avatar over F1, I think.
That would have been so funny.
There's Blue Moon, Sarat. Like, both of those got other nominations. Our beloved Sorry Baby.
Yeah.
The K-pop. Testament of Ann Lee. Yeah. K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Song Sung Blue. There's a lot of other stuff that could have been nominated here.
But literally. If they're trying to fill a spot, like, I don't know. Give me, like, The Naked Gun before you give me F1. It's just crazy.
It feels like the craft people really were like, we love F1. I know, like the whole visual effects branch and the sound people and whatever were like F1 for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Because the crazy thing about F1 is like, I get the Top Gun Maverick sort of narrative of like, or like Black Panther, I guess, as well, of like, okay, this was a big blockbuster. It made so much money. Like, we are going to give it this award because it was this massive, like, cultural achievement, even if it wasn't, and you know, like a well-made movie, but not like an Oscar movie. Yeah. But the thing with F1 is that it wasn't like it was a phenomenon. Like, yeah, it's a well-made action sort of movie
that terribly written,
fun to watch, but the script isn't good, and also it didn't have the same like cultural cachet. Yeah. Like, I'm not hearing people talk about F1. Like, I think Sinners and One Battle After Another are the movies that people are talking about, and I think that Weapons would have been a better example of like, here is a big genre blockbuster movie, yeah, that people really loved this year and was a cultural touchstone. Like, no one's dressing up like F1 for Halloween. People are dressing up like Aunt Gladys.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy call. Like, honestly, anything, like, yeah, I won't tell you how far F1 is on my list, but there's a lot of movies before it.
So of the Best Picture nominees, you've seen all of them but Sentimental Value and Secret Agent?
Yeah.
Okay. We just got to get you into these international films,
I know.
Locked and loaded. We're doing well this year, I feel like.
I know. I was doing the numbers and I'm like, wow, I've actually watched more movies for 2025 already than I did for the last 3 years. So,
wow.
I've been crazy, staying abreast, you know.
And we still have like a whole nother month.
I know. Will I bother to watch some of them? I don't know. But I've watched a lot.
Well, you watched Song Sung Blue. So I'm like, really? I sort of don't know what you wouldn't watch. If
I wanted to be
that
pleasantly surprised, okay? I wanted to understand and I just didn't. I feel like I've watched a lot of the Oscar nominees. But I don't know if I'll watch some of the... I don't know. We'll see.
You don't know if you're going to watch The Ugly Stepsister?
Yeah.
Or The Smashing Machine?
Yeah, I'm not watching that. I'm sorry.
But you watched The Lost Bus.
I did.
And you've seen Jurassic World Rebirth.
Oh, of course.
100%. And you've seen Avatar Fire and Ash. So, you know, yeah, it's like you're really locked in. Talking about all of these movies again. when we both A, get to the Oscars, and B, get to our year-end rankings.
Oh, yeah.
So, much to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
we're far from being done with this. Next week, I think, is that, are we going to go see the Rachel McAdams Trapped on a Desert movie?
Ooh, fun!
So, exciting stuff for us to come. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye.